This week's parsha is Parshas Truma, and the pasuk starts Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe Leimor. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, "Daber el bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, ve'ikhu li truma, they should take from me a offering, me'eis kol ish, from every person, asher idvenu liboy, that is hard, will motivate him, tikhu es trimosi, should take my portion." We'll first try to explain the smichus aparsha, the juxtaposition of this week's parsha of Truma to last week's parsha of Mishpatim. We will try to give three answers. The first answer is a simple answer, but it is a very important answer, and that is that Parshas Mishpatim deals mostly with monetary laws. We have the laws of guardians, we have the idea that you're supposed to lend money to the poor, you have the idea that you're not supposed to steal, not to take bribes, and that is an important prerequisite before you are going to donate money to the temple or to Hashem. In other words, Hashem wants that before you give him money, before you give a donation to the temple, before you give money to the poor, you have to make sure that that money came to your hands through honest methods, and that there is no possibility that that money is stolen from somebody else, or that gift that you're donating didn't come to your hand through cheating. And with that, I will quote a marsha in Ksubas, Daf Samach Zayin, Omed Alev, Divra Maschel Iboy Seyme. There the marsha says, "Verabim bedor hazeh," a lot of people in this generation, meaning the marsha was speaking about his generation, "Shemekapzim oishe shalohem shaloi be'emuna," that they gather, they accumulate wealth not in a trustworthy manner, "ivechil Hashem," and not only that, they achieve it by desecrating Hashem's name, for example, "kegzeila zovet kechovim," by stealing, by cheating Gentiles, "vachakach," and then "misnadvim oisa momen," and then they give donation from that money, "liyo islam kovet b'chol shona," so they'll be able to get honor from his friends all year round, "velase islohem birchas mishaberach lisyo islohem shem v'siferes," and when they get up to the Torah and they give the blessings of mishaberach, they donate a lot of money, like that they'll be able to impress their friends, impress everybody in the synagogue, by showing how benevolent he is, how much charity he gives away, and like that he gets himself a name of being a pious and a charitable person. The Einze, but he makes a mistake, because this is only considered elo mitzvah haba baveira. This is considered a mitzvah that comes through a sin. The Ein lo oisher hazeh melach v'kiyum, and it's not going to be from that money any continuity or anything firmly established. In other words, no bracha will come from that money. What the Marsha is saying is basically that anybody who donates money that he receives through ill gains, it is considered a mitzvah haba baveira. It's a mitzvah that you do through Hashem, but you only did it through a sin. And that is even worse than you make an aveira itself. For two reasons. One, because the fact that you make a mitzvah out of it causes you to make a greater aveira. In your mind, you justify that you are only stealing because you are going to give charity. You find excuses to feel that you are an honest person because you are going to give charity from these ill gains and from this cheating that you did, from this stealing that you did. And therefore, the charity itself ends up being the cause for you stealing, because of your warped mentality, that charity ends up being the cause for your stealing. Therefore, that charity becomes a part of aveira. And the other reason is because if you steal per se and you use it for your own things, you could do eventually tshuva, repentance, for doing that aveira, for doing that stealing, for doing that bad deed. But if you are stealing and you are making a mitzvah out of it, since you want the mitzvah and that mitzvah cannot stand without the stealing, you will never do tshuva, you will never repent on the mitzvah per se, you will only repent on the stealing part. But nonetheless, the mitzvah could not stand without your stealing. And the mitzvah always stands in front of Hashem and reminds Hashem of your sin of stealing. If you just stole, then you are able to do tshuva, repent, and Hashem erases that stealing, and it's no sign and no remnants remains in heaven. But if you make a mitzvah of it, since the mitzvah always is in heaven, you don't do tshuva on a mitzvah, then that mitzvah itself becomes proof that you are a thief, that you stole. So the mitzvah brings the criticism on you, even if you did tshuva on the avera, because the mitzvah always reminds Hashem that the mitzvah is stolen, that you did that mitzvah through stealing. Therefore, the Torah is telling you here, Parshas Mishpatim, that you should learn the laws, what is the proper thing to do, how to properly earn your money, what is called cheating, when does the money belong to somebody else, in order for you to know exactly from what funds you are able to donate and what gifts you are able to give to Hashem. The Pardes Yosef adds another proof, which is in Parshas Kedoshim, Vayikra, chapter 19, Pasuk number 10, the Pasuk is describing the gifts on the field that you are required to leave to the poor people. The karmecha loise oilel, you should not pick the undeveloped twigs from your vineyard. Uperet karmecha loise lakeit, and the fallen fruits of your vineyard you should not gather. Le'oni ve'lager tazav oisam, you should leave it to the poor and to the proselyte. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Am Hashem your God. And right afterwards, it's telling you, after it's describing what you're supposed to give to the poor, it's describing, Loi tignoivu, do not steal, Loi tekachshu, do not deny falsely, Loi seshakru, ishba misoi, do not lie one to another. The Pardes Yosef explains that the same idea that we had here for the juxtaposition of Parshas Truma to Parshas Mishpatim, the same idea is there, that it's telling you about the gifts of the poor with the juxtaposition about the laws that you should not steal, do not cheat, and do not lie to your friend. Meaning that if you give charity, you have to make sure that the charity is coming from proper, legal, and honest funds. Otherwise, it is again a mitzvah above avera, a mitzvah that comes through sin, and it's not accepted. And that's what Hashem says right afterwards, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I'm Hashem your God, I know where these funds come from. Therefore, be very careful how you give charity and what money you decide to donate to me, and you don't want to donate any ill-gotten gains. The second interpretation of the smichas of the connection is from the Baal HaTurim, and the Baal HaTurim connects last week's parsha not from the whole of Parshas Mishpatim, but the last part of Parshas Mishpatim, and specifically the last sentence of Parshas Mishpatim, where it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain and says, "Vay Moshe Bahar." Moshe was in the mountain 40 yom v'arba'im laila, 40 days and 40 nights. And the Baal HaTurim says that the word Truma is the letters Torah Mem. The letters of Tav, Resh, Vav, Hey from Truma is Torah, and the Mem, which signifies 40, which means that Hashem is telling you to build a Mishkan because you took with you the Torah that was given in 40 days. And the Baal HaTurim is alluding to the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Lamed Gimel, which the Medrash says that Vasili Mikdash, that you should make to me a sanctuary, is an example for a king who has an only daughter, and the king decides to marry off this daughter to another prince. And the prince, once he marries this daughter, decides to take this daughter to his country, which is in a far-off land. The king summons this prince and talks to the prince, "Please, I beg you, wherever you go, make me a small room or a house where I could dwell there, so I'll be able to be next to my daughter." And the marshal is that Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem gave us his treasure, the Torah, which is beloved to him like the only daughter of the king. And we became engaged to the Torah. We married the Torah during Sinai. And Hashem is telling us, wherever you go, wherever you take my daughter, the Torah, make sure that you build to me a small house so I'll be able to be next to you and I won't have to be far away from my beloved daughter, the Torah. And that's why Hashem is asking us, V'asu li mikdash, make me a sanctuary, v'shochanti b'soicham, I'll be amongst you. The Baal Turim explains that the same idea is expressed by the beginning of the parsha, where it says, Dabra b'nei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, v'ikhu li truma, they should take for me a portion. And Rashi is bothered by the word li. What does it mean, take to me? Obviously, Hashem owns the whole world. Why does it mean that we have to take gold and silver and bring to Hashem? And Rashi answers, li means lishmi, for my name, which we are going to try to explain what has got to do the name of Hashem with the fact that we are going to give the truma, that we are building the Mishkan. But according to Baal Turim, it means to say that Hashem is telling you, build for me, the same idea that you're supposed to build a little house for the king, because the king wants to be next to his daughter. Hashem is telling you, Veikhu, they should build li for me. In other words, for me the king, I want to have a little house next to you. Why? Because truma, because you took the Torah that was given in 40 days. Since you took the Torah that was given in 40 days, which is considered like Hashem's only daughter, therefore I want you to build me a house here. So the li is lishmi, for my name, means really for Hashem. The Hashem wants to dwell and is asking us, please do me a favor, I want to dwell amongst you. Therefore, we are required to build him the Mishkan. Rab Heschel in Sefer Chanukah Satorah writes that the juxtaposition between Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Truma is really also the end of Parshas Mishpatim. And he explains based on a Gemara on Sanhedrin, the Flametes Amad Aleph. There the Gemara says, Omale ha'uminol Rabavu, that heretic said to Rabavu, Elokeichem, Hashem, Kohenu, is a Kohen. Why? Because this week's Parsha is written in Dichsiv, Ve'ikhu li truma, you should take to me an offering, a portion. But literally, the word truma means a portion that you give of your crops to the Kohen. If you have a crop, a field that is growing on it, some fruits or some wheat, you are required to give a portion to the Kohen. The portion that you give to the Kohen depends on how generous you are. You could give 1 of 40, which means that you give a little bit more than 2%. You could give 1 of 50, which means that you give 2%. Or you could give 1 of 60, which means you give a little less than 2%. But let's take average of 2% you give to the Kohen from anything that grows into your field. And that is normally called truma. And a truma is only given to a Kohen. And in the end of the Devarim, when Moshe Rabbeinu dies, on chapter 34, Pasuk number 6, there it's written that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu. So he asked a question, this heretic asked a question, when he buried Moshe Rabbeinu, in what mikveh did Hashem purify himself afterwards? Because if you come into contact with a dead body, you're required to go to mikveh. Then how can Hashem accept afterwards sacrificial offerings in the Beis HaMikdash or in the Mishkan? You're not allowed to go into those places when you are contaminated. This heretic asks a question, how did Hashem purify himself? What mikveh did Hashem immerse himself before going back to his duties in the Beis HaMikdash, to accept our karbonis, to be in the Holy of Holies? How is it possible that Hashem went in there afterwards if he buried Moshe Rabbeinu and he's a Kohen, obviously became contaminated, is required to purify himself? So this heretic asked, how did he purify himself? Are you going to tell me that he purified himself in water, meaning that Hashem went into a deep ocean and he purified himself in the waters of the ocean? That cannot be, because the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Isaiah chapter 40, Pasuk number 12, there it says, Mimadat b'sholomayim, who could measure if his fist the water? In other words, the Pasuk means to say that all the waters in the world could barely fit in Hashem's fist. That means that he cannot immerse himself totally in water, because he's much bigger than all the waters of the world. So this heretic asks a question, how did Hashem immerse himself? And eventually Rabbi Aviu tells him that Hashem immersed himself in fire, that you are able to go in a mikveh of fire, as it's written in Yeshaya chapter 66, pasuk number 15, it says, Kine Hashem bo'esh yavoy, Hashem will come in fire, so it's possible to purify yourself from tumah through fire. But Rabbi Heschel in Chanukah Zator explains that really the means question, the heretic questions, was not a question. Why? Because the Gemara in Soita Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis brings down that Vayesh Omrim, some people say that Loi Mes Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Why? Ksi Vach is written on Dvarim, chapter 34, pasuk number 6, says Vayamos Sham Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu died there. Uchsiv in Sritin Pashas Kisisa in Shemas chapter 34 pasuk 28 Vayi Sham im Hashem, that he was there if Hashem 40 days and 40 nights. We make a Gzeira Shave Sham Sham. We take what's written Sham here and what's written Sham there, and we apply what happened to one to what is happening to the other, and we say Ma'alahal on the same way there on Pashas Kisisa, where it's written the word Sham, there we know Moshe Rabbeinu is alive, and there it describes Moshe Rabbeinu going up the mountain and serving Hashem for 40 days, 40 nights, where normally a person cannot survive. Afkan, also the Sham written here, where it's written Moshe Rabbeinu dying, it's not necessarily dying, he is up in heaven, and he is doing the same thing as he did when he went to get the Torah, Oymed u'meshamesh, is standing and serving Hashem. So Rabbi Heschel explains that if we look at this Gemara, according to this opinion that Moshe Rabbeinu never died, then the question of the heretic is never even a question, because his whole problem was that Hashem buried Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu as a dead person, as a corpse, contaminates, and if Hashem is contaminated, then Hashem cannot become purified. But according to this Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Moshe Rabbeinu lives on forever in heaven. If he lives on forever in heaven, that means he does not contaminate, because he's not like a corpse, he's not a dead person. How do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu is still alive? We learn that from Gzeira Shaveh, Sham Sham. It's written here when he dies, Sham, and it's written there where Moshe Rabbeinu is up the mountain, Sham. And he says, according to this, the juxtaposition is perfect, because the end of last week's parsha tells you that Moshe Rabbeinu was in the mountains 40 days and 40 nights. From there we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu never died. If Moshe Rabbeinu never died, then this week's parsha could start, Vayikhu li truma, give me a truma, because even though I'm a Kohen, I have no problem getting into touch with Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu is never going to die, and since he's never going to die, now I could take the truma. As we mentioned, the Rashi on the pasuk Vayikhu li truma, take for me a portion, the word li, Rashi says, what does it mean, take to me? Hashem owns everything. What does it mean, Hashem is asking to take to him a portion? So Rashi says, li, for me, lishmi, for my namesake. And everybody's bothered, what does it mean, lishmi, for my namesake? What idea is behind it? We're going to give a couple different ideas, but the simple idea is that you're required to give the truma for the sake of Hashem. In other words, don't give truma, don't give this portion, don't give donations for the temple in order to engrander yourself. You have to make sure when you give over l'shem shomayim, totally for Hashem. Normally, if you give charity, we don't care if you give it if an ulterior motive. As it's written in Gemara in Tainus Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the pasuk says, "Aser te aser, you should surely tithe." We learn aser bishvil shatis asher, that you should give miser even though your intention is to become wealthy. As the prophet says that we are allowed to test Hashem by giving tithe. So you giving miser, you giving your charity, even though your intention is to become wealthy, it's still considered a proper thing to do. Or, as the Gemara says in Psachim Daf Ches Omed Aleph, Ha'omer Sela Zulet Tzedakah, somebody who says this dollar is for Tzedakah, Bishvil Sheyichi Ebni, because I want my child should live. So you're giving this with the intention that you want your child to live. Arei Zeh Tzadik Gomor, that is considered a completely righteous person. So we see that you are allowed to have ulterior motives when you're giving charity, when you give a donations. But here, Hashem wants specifically that if you give, you have to have complete clean thoughts, that you're only doing it for the sake of Hashem and not for any ulterior motive. And the reason is, the Kshar Simcha explains, that since the Mishkan is an atonement for the golden calf, and the golden calf, our sin was with action, we did the action, we gave the gold, and we thought, we wanted to make this gold for an idol, therefore the atonement for it has to be exactly the same way as your sin. That you have to give a donation to the tabernacle, but completely l'shem shamayim. Even though normally we don't require you to have this kavana, but here, since this is a direct atonement for the sin of the golden calf, we make you have this kavana. And that's what it means, ve'yikhu li truma li lishmi, that here it's not enough ve'yikhu truma to take a donation. Here you have to have the proper thoughts when you donate it. The other interpretation of li lishmi, that you should make the Mishkan for my sake, is based on the Gemara in Soita Daf Hei Omed Aleph. There the Gemara says, Omar Rav Chisda, Veiteme Marukva, Kol Odom Sheyesh Begasas Ruach, anybody who is haughty, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Ein Ani Vehu, Yecholim Lodur Bo'olam, that I and he cannot dwell in one world together. In other words, if a person is haughty, he causes Hashem to leave the immediate area, and Hashem cannot dwell together with that person. Therefore, they explain that this is what is meant by this Rashi, where Rashi says, Li Lishmi, that you should give to me, to my name. Normally, if you give charity, even though you are haughty, even though you give the charity because you want to engrander yourself, because you want people to know how much you gave, you want people to talk about you, how great you are, that is still considered charity. Because regardless of your intention, regardless of your thoughts, the recipient still is benefited, and therefore, regardless what happens, it is still considered charity, and you get your reward for giving this gift. But here we want to build a Mishkan, a tabernacle, where it's going to be the place where Hashem is going to manifest Himself among us, that He is going to be in the Holy of Holies, and we are going to see His presence and feel His presence throughout the years of the deserts, and also in the Beis HaMikdash. So Hashem is telling you, when you are giving me these gifts, when you are bringing donations for this house, for this tabernacle, which is specifically designed to bring me closer to you, make sure you don't do anything that will cause me to leave, that will cause me to go away. Don't have haughty thoughts or haughty intentions when you give them, because if you have those intentions, then automatically I will have to leave. And that's what it is meant by Li, to me, Lishmi, for my namesake. Make sure that this time when you give, you have no ulterior motives. You're giving it only for my namesake. According to this, we could also explain a little bit what the Ben Ish Chai says on the word Li. The Ben Ish Chai says that if you take a look, the tallest letter of the Jewish alphabet is the Lamed. And the smallest letter of the alphabet is the Yud. And the Lamed, because it is the tallest, it denotes haughtiness. And the Yud, because it is the smallest, it denotes humbleness. Hashem is telling you, Ve'ikhu, they should take Li, even though they are making themselves Lamed, they are making tall by giving the charity, and that may cause for you to become haughty. Nonetheless, the Yud comes next to it to tell you that you have to make a special effort on humility, and you have to become humble, that since you are giving Lishmi for my namesake, therefore you have to make sure that the end of when you give is the Yud, is through humility. Because if you give through haughtiness, then Hashem cannot stand. So that's why it's written specifically on the word Li, Lamed, which is haughty, and the Yud, which is humbleness, to show that even though you're starting if alamet, you have to make sure that you end up if the yud, which is humility, because you have to make sure that it's lishmi for my namesake and not in order to engrander yourself. Using this idea of haughtiness, that Hashem doesn't like so much people that are haughty, the Kli Yakar explains an interesting point in the Pasuk. In Pasuk number 2 says, Daber Bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people, Veikhu li truma, that you take to me a portion. So this portion is directly related to Hashem. Take to me a portion. Then the Pasuk continues, Meish kolish shedven liboy, anybody who his heart desires him, Tikhu esturimasi, you should take my portion. So again, this portion is related directly to Hashem. And then it's written, Vezois atruma asher tikhu meitam, and this is the portion that you should take from them. This portion, Vezois atruma asher tikhu meitam, is not related anymore to Hashem. It's just telling you, this is what you should take from them. But the first two, it's directly associated to Hashem. One is Vikhu li truma, take from me a truma, and the other one is Trumasi, my truma. But the third one is, that's what you should take, which is not directly related. It doesn't say this is my truma that you should take. And Rashi explains that the three languages of truma denotes three separate donations that they gave. The first donation was to make the adonim, the sakets of the temple. The sakets that were the foundation of the temple, they were made from this donation. The second donation was done for the animals, for the sacrifices. In other words, what you had to bring, the public sacrifices, that was a donation. And the third donation was a voluntary to make the vessels, which were the shulchan, the menorah, and the aron, the table, the altar, the aron, the vessels, everything else. And interesting enough, the first two, the donation that was given for the sakket and the donation that was given in order to give you money to buy the public sacrifices, these first two were a fixed amount that everybody had to give exactly the same. There was a fixed amount, the rich should not give more and the poor should not give less. And the third one was whoever wants to give, whoever wants to donate, then he could give as much as he wants. And he explains that the first donation was done for the sakets. The sakets is the foundation of the Mishkan, because the beams were on top of these sakets. And the foundation of the Mishkan has to be in a way that nobody is haughty, that everybody is equal, and one is not better than the other. And the same thing for the money collected for the sacrifices, which was all equal, that since now everybody is equal, nobody could become haughty that he gave more than the other. Automatically, there is no haughtiness by bringing sacrifices. Everybody has the same broken heart or the same heart, the same feeling when he's giving the sacrifice, and nobody thinks that he contributed more to the sacrifice than the other. Therefore, by these two donations, Hashem could directly put his name on these donations. As we mentioned, Hashem doesn't like a person that is haughty. Hashem doesn't want to be associated with a person that is haughty. Therefore, in these two first donations, Hashem could put his name in that donation, because there is no room for somebody to be haughty, because the poor and the wealthy give exactly the same thing. So therefore, there it's written, Li Truma, this is my Truma. And the second one is written, Trumasi, my Truma again. Hashem's name is associated to both of them. If you take a look, the sakets are called Adonim. Adonim is from the word Adonai, which is my masters. The sakets, which by us we view as the lowest part of the Mishkan, that according to the Kli Yakar is the best part of the Mishkan, because that is the foundation of the Mishkan, and that was done by everybody the same, which nobody could get haughty over his portion being in a certain place more than other portions. And the third portion, which was done for the vessels, which anybody could give more than the others, there it's written, Vezois atruma asher tikhu meitam, this is the donation you should take from them. But there it's not associated anymore to Hashem, because there's room for haughtiness, there's no association. So you see this idea that Hashem hates haughtiness, that Hashem doesn't want to associate his name with haughtiness, follows through in the Psukim, and he says that it even follows through on those things that you are able to donate, but those things that your name becomes more noticeable, that you are the one who gave, Hashem puts it last in the list. And the example that he gives is on Pasuk number 3. There he tells, this is the donation that you give, Zav v'chesef nechoishes, gold, silver and copper. And it seems to be that the list is going in a descending order. The most important first and then going down. Because after that comes tcheles, which is the blue wool, the vargamon and purple wool and so forth. And at the end of the list, it goes up again, Pasuk number 7, which is the most expensive thing that was in the Beis HaMikdash, Avnei Shoam, Avnei Miluim, the stones of Shoam, the stones of Miluim, Lo Eifoit, for the Eifoit, Velachoshin, for the breastplates of the Kohen Gadol. These were the precious stones that were put in the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. So the question that he asks is, doesn't make sense. It starts in a descending order, and all of a sudden he decides to put the most expensive things at the end. And he answers, is that is exactly the reason. Gold, silver and copper, true that one person could give more than the others, but you can't really tell whose is whose. You can't tell this is my gold, this is your gold. You can't tell whose it is. Therefore, it has a higher hierarchy in Hashem's list. But Avnei Shoam, Avnei Miluim, which were given by the leaders of the tribe, those things, each leader knew, I gave this stone, I gave the other stone, so there is room for haughtiness for them to see, look how beautiful my stone shines, and look how beautiful my donation is. So that is what Hashem decides to put at the end of the list. That is least important to Hashem, therefore the Avnei Shoam, Avnei Miluim, even though they were the most expensive, they are at the end of the list because they have room for haughtiness in them, and therefore, whenever there is room for haughtiness, it has the least value in the eyes of Hashem. I saw a beautiful interpretation on what does it mean, Li, Lishmi, for my namesake, from the Sefer Kasnas Oir. Sefer Kasnas Oir brings the Gemara in Psachim Daf Nun Omed Alev. There the Gemara says that it's written, Vayu Hashem lemelech al kol oretz, Hashem will be a king on all land, Bayomahu, in that day, Yi Hashem Echad, Hashem will be one, Ushmo Echad, and his name is going to be one. The Gemara says, Mai Echad, what does it mean it's going to be one? Ota hu idno lav Shmo Echadi, today Hashem's name is not one. So the Gemara answers, Om Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Loi boilam hazeh hoilam abba, that this world is not the same as the world to come. In this world, Hashem's name is written Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Whenever it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, we read it Adonai. Aval Olam Haba, but in the world to come, Kulo Echot, it will be one. It will be written in Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it will be read in Yud Kei Vav Kei. In the world to come, the name of Hashem will be one, will be read exactly as the way it's written. In other words, now Hashem's name is Yud Kei Vav Kei, but we don't read it Yud Kei Vav Kei, we always read it Adne, and in the future it's going to be Yud Kei Vav Kei, and you'll be able to read it Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Gemara there continues that Rav Avinu asks a contradiction. One pasuk says, Zeshmi Lo'olam, my name should be forever, but the word Lo'olam is written without a Vav, which we learn means le'alem, that we have to conceal, that Hashem's name is concealed. And then it's written, Zeh Zichri, this is the way I mentioned le'dor v'dor for all generations. So the Gemara answers, Rav Avinu answers, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem says, Lo'i k'shena nichtav, not the way I am written, ani nikro, I am pronounced. In other words, I am written one way, and I'm pronounced another way. As we know, whenever it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, we don't pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei, we pronounce the Shem Adne Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So comes out that we're not allowed to pronounce Hashem's name. But the Gemara in Tamid, Daf Lamed Gimel Amad Beis, brings down on the 7th Perik, 2nd Mishnah, the Mishnah says, Bamikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, Oyo Omrim Es Hashem Kiksovoy. The only place we are allowed to read Hashem's name the proper way is in the Mishkan. In the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, that is the only way that we pronounce Hashem's name the way it was written. If it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, we'll pronounce it Yud Kei Vav Kei. According to this, we see something very interesting. that the name of Hashem could not be pronounced the way it's written outside the Beis HaMikdash and inside the Beis HaMikdash, even though it's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, we would pronounce it as Yud Kei Vav Kei. We would not pronounce it as Adna, we would pronounce it as Yud Kei Vav Kei. According to this, Sefer Kosnes Or says, we understand this Rashi very well. The Pasuk is saying, Ve'ikhu li truma, you should take for me a portion. The Pasuk is talking about the donations that people have to do in order to build a tabernacle for Hashem. The Hashem wanted us to build a Mishkan, therefore he's asking for donations that we should give money and valuables in order to build a Mishkan. Once you build a Mishkan, you'll be able to pronounce Hashem's name the way it's written. You're able to pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei the way it's written. So it comes out that what Rashi says, Li Lishmi, means me for my name, means literally for my namesake, that the only way I could pronounce Hashem's name is if it's in the Mishkan. So therefore, Veikhu Li Truma, take for me, for my name, a donation, build me a Mishkan, so you'll be able to say my name, that only in the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash is the only place that you could pronounce Hashem's name the way it's written. Therefore, build me a tabernacle, because if you don't build me a tabernacle, you won't be able to pronounce my name. So Li Lishmi means literally for you to be able to pronounce my name. Sefer Chanukah Satoira for Rab Heschel gives a different interpretation on what Li Lishmi, for me, for my namesake, means, and with this interpretation it shows how brilliant he is. The interpretation is based on the Chumash in Bamidbar, Parshas Nosoi, chapter 5, Pasuk number 12, where there it's talking about the laws of Sota. The laws of Sota are, if a man suspects his wife of committing adultery, and she wants to prove her innocence, and she didn't do anything wrong, the man takes her to the Kohen. The Kohen takes this portion of Sota, he puts it in water, erases Hashem's name, and the woman drinks the water. If she's found to be innocent, she'll survive. If she's found to be guilty, she will die. The main part of the procedure of Sota is to erase Hashem's name, and the idea is that Hashem is willing to erase his name in order to cause peace and harmony between husband and wife. That they take the parchment that is written Hashem's name, they dissolve it in water, and that water is drank by the Sota. But immediately before the Parsha Sota, we have the Parsha of Trumas Imaisres. In other words, on chapter 5, Pasuk number 9, there it says, V'chol Truma l'chol kotche b'nei Yisrael asher yakrivu, all the Truma for all the things that the Jewish people are going to bring, la koyen, to the koyen, lo yiyah, should be for the koyen. And then it's written, isha sheite la koyen, lo yiyah, the person who gives the koyen will be to him. So the Gemara in Brachas, Daf Samach Gimel, Amad Alef, 63a, and it's also brought by Rashi on the spot, Omar Cheske bereid Rav Panach Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Cheske, the son of Panach, says ne Rabbi Yochanan, lamo nismecho parsha soite le parsha strumas imaisres, what is the juxtaposition that the Parsha of Sota is written right after the Parsha of Trumas Imaisres, of giving the tithe. Noi malach, to tell you, kol she yesh loy Trumas Imaisres, very nice la Kohen, that anybody who has Trumas Imaisres, but he doesn't want to give to the Kohen, then so if, in the end, nitzrach la koya de ishtoy, is going to need the Kohen to prove that his wife is innocent. That in other words, if you do not give the Kohen, you do not recognize the Kohen, eventually you're going to come to need the Kohen, your wife is going to be suspected of committing adultery, and you are going to want to ascertain her innocence, if she's honest or not, and you are going to have to come to the Kohen to prove that point. So Rabbi Heschel says, based on this Gemara, we understand very well. The Gemara means to say like that, Daber Bnei Yisrael, tell the Jewish people, Veikhu li truma, they should give for my namesake Truma. In other words, if they give Truma, then my namesake is protected. Because once they give Truma, then Hashem doesn't have to make him come to the Kohen because of his wife. Therefore, there won't be Sotas. If there won't be Sotas, Hashem's name won't be erased, because part of the procedure of the Sota is to erase Hashem's names in water. Therefore, Veikhu Truma, give Truma, but Li, that will automatically be for my namesake. By you giving Truma, my name will be protected, that it won't have to be erased. So Hashem is begging us, give truma, give the tithe to the Kohen, like that Hashem's name will be protected and won't have to be erased. We'll finish this CD with a beautiful idea of the Sfasemes. The Sfasemes says that what does it mean, li lishmi, that you should take this truma for my name? Sfasemes explains that all these things that Hashem is asking for donations, gold, silver, copper, all these material things of this world, Hashem doesn't mind you have it. Hashem wants you to have it. But if one condition, that you do li lishmi, that you raise this physicality, this wealth that you have, and you raise it for the name of Hashem, that you use your wealth for mitzvahs, you use your wealth for charity, you use your wealth to make a kiddush Hashem, that is why Hashem gives you the truma. Hashem is giving you this gold, silver and copper in order for you to be able to elevate them, to make a truma, to make an elevation from the word lehitromem, from the word raising, that you're supposed to take this physicality of this world and raise it to a higher level. And Hashem Yisbarach should help that we should all be wealthy physically and spiritually, be able to take everything for Hashem's name. And in these weeks that we're reading about the building of the Mishkan, we should merit to have Mashiach come, build the Beis HaMikdash, b'imheira b'yomeinu, Amen.